Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we're talking about The Bear, Season 4. And with me today is Adam, and I'm Ryan, and we're talking about, as I previously mentioned, The Bear.
What a great, great, top-notch intro.
Thanks, man. Yeah, a comedy for our day, right?
Yeah, totally a comedy.
Very much just definitely still a comedy, and that's never going to change. And every time they win an award at the Emmys for it being a comedy, the audience should boo.
Yeah, it is weird. I hate it because all the things that happen in the show are just, they're just not funny. I mean, there's some funny parts, but it's a stretch to call it a comedy.
Yeah, well, that's sometimes, or a lot of the time, how drama is, right?
Yes.
Where it's dramatic, 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 moment of levity.
Sure.
Oh, that moment of levity really got me in this drama. Drummy, drummy, drummy. And that's, you know, how a lot of dramas are. Like this show, which is what it is.
It is a drama. Or a dramedy. But let's be real. It should be going up against, like, I don't even know, Silo.
It should be Severance and Succession.
And it will lose.
Right, which is why they put it in as a comedy.
Bummer.
And the only people they're really facing is like hacks, which is also great, by the way. And as we enter season four, as you might recall, we way back when talked about season three, which was filmed back to back with season three. So season three and then season four back to back.
Yeah.
And last time, I think our general consensus was that season three felt disjointed.
Yes.
It kind of felt like it had no overall goal. And season four came off the top ropes with like a structure from the very beginning that I think was implemented to try to put the bear back on the tracks. And that being Computer and Cicero's timer in the corner so that we always knew that we were on a clock. You know, one of those old tropes that shows do to let you know that this can't go on forever.
Yeah.
And so I think that made it a lot better from the very beginning.
You know, I thought before they announced season five was happening that it was going to be the last season. Like, with this timer, were they going to get it done? Were they weren't? Hopefully they do, you know. But as we find out, there is a season five, and it kind of leaves us wanting more.
Yeah, they, I think, do a decent job at the end of the season, season four, that is.
Yeah.
With setting us up for actually wanting more, which again, I don't think they did a great job at doing so in season three. It also sort of feels like if you had taken the 10 episodes of season three and taken the 10 episodes of season four and smashed them together and then cut out a little bit of fluff, so 20 episodes total, and you made maybe 16 or 17 episodes that was one story out of these two seasons, it probably would have felt, at least for sure, season three would have felt better.
Yeah.
I do think season four felt, I don't know, comprehensive. It felt like it had a beginning, middle, and end at the very least.
Absolutely. And a lot of people online I've seen seem to think that the bear is floundering and struggling to find its footing still. Do you feel that way?
No, I mean, I don't. I'm not mad at that sentence at all, especially, again, after what season three was, which, by the way, like, when season three went to black at the end of it, I was so annoyed.
Yeah.
As were many people, because it didn't feel like an actual story. It felt like a piece of a story that was missing something.
And had so much fluff.
Right.
Just lots of fluff or nutter.
And this is one of those shows as well that you have to point out that the fluff we're talking about usually isn't the one-off episodes that is focusing in on a side character. Like, you know, there were, by the way, a few really good episodes in season three. And I think the best one was Tina's episode.
Yeah.
So that, I think, is pretty good evidence for that's not the fluff we're talking about. The fluff we're talking about sometimes is, man, are they still arguing about this?
I know. Like, I can appreciate the tense nature of like a strong argument between like family, like that whole situation. I can appreciate that. People like to see that drama. But three seasons in, it's like, okay, dude. Like, if this was real and you really wanted to do a thing that you're trying to do, you would put that shit aside and do the thing. And it just seemed like their egos got in the best of them. And maybe, I mean, that's the whole idea, I guess. But it was like very exhausting after a while. Even now when it happens, it's like, Jesus Christ.
Right. I mean, way back when in season one, our original conversation was, I don't know if I can watch this all the time because it's really, it's grating a little bit. These characters are always fighting. And you just said that they should just kind of put their feelings aside and figure it out. And you feel as though they should at some point if the argument is going for this long. I'm on the other side of that. If the argument is going this long, at some point it would have been blown up. And everyone would have left.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's either they figure it out or it explodes and the restaurant it closes. Like, you know, everyone quits. Like, the fact that Sydney is still there
right.
is insane. But obviously we get some resolution on that decision this season, which was nice.
And I will also say that this show falls into the one of my favorite genres of entertainment, which I'll don competency porn.
Of course. Like,
it's a show of people who are really, really talented being talented, and sometimes themselves or external factors gets in the way, but let's be honest, it's mostly themselves. Although the external factor is a bit more prevalent in the fourth season as it's just, you know, the money of it all.
Yeah, right,
but
right.
Carmi is one of the best cooks in the world. As we're learning, Sid is getting there as well. And then the supporting cast around them, whom from the very beginning you don't think are going to, like, they just can't live up to this, sort of are. The facts are stepping up. Sugar is stepping up for a lot the whole time, being the adult in the room most of the time. And then I think the epitome of that is Richie. And with all of that said, it all sort of adds up to season four was, for my money, way better than season three and has me excited about the show again.
I agree. I was getting a little bored. You know, I don't like to use the word bored because when I'm watching it, I am not bored, even though it's not the best. Like, season three wasn't the best. I wasn't bored watching it. It's just not what I wanted to watch, really. And I'm just excited that they're reeling it in and people are making decisions that make more sense.
Yeah. And they're just sort of now actually going for an ending. They were meandering a lot in season three, but now that the money is running out and you can't do anything after the money runs out, unless you figure your lives out in a industry that is tough to begin with. And as we saw, like, ever closed down in season three, a restaurant that was doing really, really well.
Yeah.
At least from the outside. Like, you know, these 3, 2, or 1 Michelin star restaurants that are killing it are also closing because restaurants are hard to run.
Yeah. And especially something of that caliber where you got to get good stuff in every day. Everything's prepped by hand. If something goes wrong and you don't get an order that day, oh, you're not making that dish that day. And again, that's like a little detail that I appreciate in this season where they're like, we can't find enough food for how much money we have. We have to figure a menu out. And they do. And that's great. And seeing it happen was cool. But I like that they're exploring that part of it. And like you said earlier, it's the elephant of the room of the timer, the external source of contention.
Yeah, and but what you just said, there is progress this season.
Oh, yeah.
When it just felt like there was sort of none in season three, and that we were all aiming or like moving towards Carmi's confrontation with Joel McHale. Like that was what was sold to us as this is where we've been getting to in season three. And it, I don't know, just didn't feel satisfactory.
Not
whereas the confrontation that's at the end of season four is a culmination of a whole lot of things. It actually feels like, hey, we're trying to tie this up and move on to the next set of problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Either way, season four, way better than season two. It once again, one of my favorite shows on television. And I, as pointed out previously, at the end of season three, it was not that anymore. In fact, when season four came on, a part of me was like, I mean,
I guess I have to.
I kind of want to, but I don't want to. I don't really want to. They're all yelling at each other. They're all mean all the time. It makes me feel anxious. And is that what I really want right now? Or should I just go watch Arrested Development for the 8,000th time?
Yeah, that's me in Parks and Rec. You know, I'll rewatch Parks and Rec because it makes me feel good.
But yeah, that's kind of our overall vibe / spoiler free recap. So we'll come back after this short break and talk about season four and talk about all the spoilers.
What if everything you've been taught about happiness is wrong? We chase careers, approval, more stuff, hoping it'll finally make us feel fulfilled, but it never sticks. What if happiness isn't out there, but already inside you, just waiting to be unlocked? Discover the book, The Happiness Experiment. Every person has a unique happiness type, and when you understand yours, everything shifts. You'll stop chasing and start creating joy on your own terms. Discover your happiness type with a free happiness type assessment. Go to myhappinesstype.com. That's myhappinesstype.com. It takes just a minute and it might change your life. Then grab your copy of The Happiness Experiment at Books A Million. This isn't just a book, it's a practical framework, a journey inward. It's a tool to help you reconnect with the happiness that's been waiting inside you all along. Pick up The Happiness Experiment and start your happiness experiment today.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Okay, let's get into spoilers. So as we were discussing before, this season has a premise. Computer and Cicero put a timer on the table counting down till the house or the hose is shut off. The hose that has the money.
The house and the hose.
The house is hosed and they're all hosed and it's all kaput at the end. So number one, Cicero, played by Oliver Platt, who's a wonderful character actor, and he's a lawyer in the West Wing. He's the best.
Anyway, Lake Placid, dude. Lake Placid. He's a gator hunter.
100%. But he's less so in this season than he was in season three. Again, he is more just a part of the structure, and there is also a bit more, because there wasn't a lot before, of the character Computer, who I hate every time he's on screen. I think I think the actor is bad, and it is like
well, he's kind of like a nerd, like a mathematician.
Yeah, like, I've seen mathematicians. Well, beautiful mind, baby. Sure. Russell Crowe is playing a beautiful mind. He's a nerd. He's a mathematician, but he's doing economics, and he's fun, and he's cool. Also, sort of losing his mind. Computer. sounds like he's reading off the lines he couldn't memorize the night before on the back of his hand.
Yeah, he's a robot. He reads the line. Doesn't deliver it, he reads it.
And so, yeah, I mean, him being on screen more, I could have done without. Cicero being on screen on less was a bummer.
Yeah, but, it's a bummer.
You know, also fun fact, like in Chef, that Jon Favreau movie.
Oh, so good.
Oliver Platt's also the journalist that he's like feuding with the whole time. Yeah. So he's just in a bunch of things about making food. So yeah, we're going to go down more so than like talking about every episode, although we'll hone in on a few of them specifically. I really just wanted to go one through one by one talking about the characters. So we'll start with Sugar. She is not in a lot of this season. She is, or she had the baby that her and Donna were at the hospital having at the end of season three. And the
which
baby,
was also a great episode, by the way. Chips, yeah. That was a great episode.
The baby is used sort of just like a thing that is making Carmi guilty because he's not leaving space to see the or meet the baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cute baby.
Yes,
it was very on the nose here. Like here's your niece.
Yeah,
you never
think
see
about
her.
Your future. Do you want children? Also, by the way, there's a bit less for Sugar to do here because again, her main point or main thing to do in the show is to be the adult in the room. But with the premise of the clock in the back being sort of the de facto adult in the room, she just sort of has a little bit less to do. But you know, at the same time. Every time Abby Elliott's on screen, she's killing it. It's just that she just has a little bit less to do, and that's fine.
Yeah, and also something that I found out, you know, I knew her last name, but I had no idea that her dad is Chris Elliott.
Dude, you didn't? Are you serious?
I had no idea. Zero idea. I didn't, like, pick up that they look similar or anything, which they kind of do when I look at them side by side. But, like... That makes me laugh because Chris Elliott was in the most bizarre movie I've ever seen, Cabin Boy. Have you ever watched Cabin Boy?
No, I have not.
You should watch Cabin Boy.
He was also, for those of you who watch Schitt's Creek, Roland Schitt in Schitt's Creek. He was on SNL. He's been doing a bunch of things. In fact, Abby Elliott was going to be... in Schitt's Creek, she was in the original pilot playing Alexis Rose and then had to go do something else. And Alexis Rose was recast as Annie Murphy, which Annie Murphy did an incredible job. It boosted her career. The point is that she was in this last.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis is back doing her guest star thing as Donna, although for season four, she is more just talked about as like a monster in the distance that just has to be dealt with or seen sometimes. And everyone's just sort of afraid to have any interaction with. But as always, every time Jamie Lee Curtis is on screen, your eyes just want to dart over to like, we're all interested in what Donna's doing at all times, because as you might recall, that one time she drove through a house.
Yeah, I had forgotten about it until they mentioned it again.
But she gets her, time to have a monologue where and Carmi sit down near the end of the season and she's showing him pictures. And then she just straight up apologizes. She's been sober for a year. She's back trying to do real estate again, and I mean, they do just enough for Jamie Lee Curtis to be able to get an episode put into the Emmys for Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Every time she kills it, they give her good stuff.
Yeah, and this whole like dialogue scene between her and Carmi at the dinner table, like. Even Jeremy Allen White, he didn't say much, but he's such a great, like, reactionary, like, visual actor, too. Like, he was so great in that, just, like, how insanely uncomfortable he was, and, like, it seems like he wants to forgive, but, like, is held back by his past and, like, all this stuff, and, like, just incredibly powerful. I thought that was a really, really great scene, and then he made her a chicken.
Yeah, he cooked for her. She was like, let me cook, and he was like, I'm gonna take care of you.
I'm gonna make you a French laundry dish.
Yeah, the thing that he learned from Thomas Keller, the chicken that Thomas Keller walked him through in previous seasons. So yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. We also do get a bit more John Barenthal, and we see Mikey every now and again. Every time John Barenthal is on screen in anything he ever does, he makes me so uneasy. He's a great actor.
Really?
The whole time I'm just thinking like, oh my God, what is this guy going to do? Is he going to explode? It's just a bit of, well, I mean, number one, his character in The Walking Dead. But yes, also number two, his character in Baby Driver really did that as well.
And he's the Punisher, so like, you know.
And we've seen in the past, Mikey has had a bit of a temper. So
yeah, for sure.
But I mean, again, the guest list or the guest cast they have for the show is incredible.
It's huge. It's crazy. I kept forgetting about these actors that were in the other seasons, but then they came back. Like Bob Odenkirk, again, had a great scene with Carmi at the wedding. And yeah, just I'd totally forgotten he was part of this. And I'm like, yeah, there we go. That's good. He's I like here. That.
They aged him up really well.
Yes. Yeah.
And he talked about seeing Donna more often. He might be shucking Donna. It's unclear.
Oh.
And then, you know, he got the same treatment that Jamie Lee Curtis does, which is, we're going to give you a monologue, Bob Odenkirk, so you can be put in for Best Supporting Actor in the Emmys. And his monologue to Carmi, where they were talking about Mikey and they were talking about Donna and they were talking about the part where, you know, he was basically like, yeah, I mean, me and Mikey like became friends. And Carmi was like, yeah. Okay.
I don't
that
believe
definitely
that for
happened.
A second. Yeah.
Do you guys remember when you were screaming and again, a car came through a building that you guys got to get? And then he's like, yeah, actually, you were gone. We talked about you. He talked about you all the time. And I was like, aw, that's cute.
Just knife in the heart, dude.
And then as we were talking about, you know, the guest list gets longer and longer. We have a bit more returning, one of which was Will Poulter coming back and being the stage for Marcus this season, adding some quote-unquote horsepower to the dessert table. And every time he shows up, I'm like, yeah, great. I love that guy.
And how, what was it, Marcus's buddy there was just like, oh, this is your coworker, and he's like, he's beautiful, man. He's such a pretty man.
Yeah. One of the facts who was just really taken aback. He doesn't like how he's being usurped by a big, beautiful version of himself, Luca, that is. And, you know, also Luca and Marcus met in Copenhagen, right?
Yeah, they're boys.
Yeah, where Marcus was working for Luca, and now it's the other way around while Luca is staying in Chicago for a little while. And so,
he's just working at a Michelin restaurant. That's pretty cool. Can you imagine being so good at that they're just like calling you and you're like, yeah, I'll just hang here for free and do this and help you.
And like, right, and he's like, what am I doing? Dessert table? Got it.
Sounds good. Love patisserie.
But also, Luca's character is just really good because, as we recall, he realized he wasn't going to be the best chef in the world because he was working somewhere where one other chef was better than him. And that was Carmi. And he really came to terms with the fact that that just wasn't his path. And so it really allowed him to relax. And so now he's incredibly talented still, but also not with that like weird edge that Carmi always has trying to prove himself against the world, which also makes him a generally well put together individual.
Yeah, I like him. I'm so glad that he came back. Will Poulter, very good. Still can't believe he was also in the We Are the Millers movie.
I know. And also, he's Adam Warlock.
And Adam Warlock, blonde-haired beauty.
And he was in that movie, A Death of a Unicorn, that I watched, and I don't think people should watch because it was bad.
Anyway, I'm not going to watch it.
I don't think you should. And then speaking of Marcus, Lionel Boyce, who plays Marcus once again in season 4, he's still killing it at the dessert table. He's going to be in the Food and Wine magazine as like an up-and-coming chef. I actually really loved that scene where Sugar was saying that out loud, and she was about to say someone's name, and Carmi looks at Sid because he assumes it's going to be Sid, but it's then Marcus, and everybody's psyched anyway because you know, you don't mess with Marcus, as Shook said.
Yeah. I too, I was like, oh, it's going to be Sydney. And then she's now put in this position of, does she go to this other restaurant? Does she stay at the Bear? Now she has this accolade, but yeah, that all kind of went to the wayside. So.
Completely kind of tied in with the overall premise of season four and the hose running up when the timer goes away / them not really having enough money. On the other side of the business, which is the sandwich stand, that's doing great. They're actually making money, and we have a side quest / story in this season where Ibrahim is looking to try to make himself more valuable and the sandwich stand more valuable, and he brings in a consultant, a bit of a ringer, and he brings in Rob Reiner. Rob Reiner came around the corner. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
We got Reiner. All right. That's cool.
Also, his character, do you trust him? Do you trust him?
I do trust him to a fault. He doesn't seem, cause at least he was talking to a computer at the end. And yeah. Hopefully if Cicero gets involved, I'll feel a lot better about the situation. Again, just having that whole thing while Ibrahim is like, has his head in the right space. It does need an adult in the situation. And I hope Cicero and computer can play that as well as Rob Reiner's character. But yeah, no, it seems as though this is going to be the Michelin star restaurant's lifeboat, where they just sort of have a fast food option that is growing and making a bunch of money.
Yeah, I just, the way he was like planning it out and saying, this is what you got to do. And he was so quick to accept that path. I was like, I sure as hell hope he doesn't get taken advantage of or something. That would be a real bummer.
Yeah, that'd be real sad in this comedy.
I really hope that that doesn't happen, but I don't think that they're going to. I don't think that they would do that.
I don't think it can happen. I think they'd have to use the sandwich stand as a plot device for being like the lifeboat of the rest of the business. So, having it being franchised and growing and making a bunch more money will then allow the restaurant to be chasing stars and stay above water.
Or the restaurant gets their star finally, and now you're going to the original beef stand. Michelin star gets you the notoriety. So now as they franchise out, everyone knows of it because of the restaurant.
Or the other way around.
Ooh. Or the other way around. Yeah, it's probably the other way around.
Lisa Colon Zayas, still absolutely killing it this season as Tina. We got to zoom in on her a little bit. I think one of the best parts of season three, as we discussed. This season, her deal is she's trying to make pasta in 3 minutes.
Yeah,
it's like the whole thing. But really, what she's doing is battling her inner demons. Can she be good enough to work in a Michelin star restaurant where, you know, in doing so, you sort of have to do a whole lot. One of which, the things, is making sketty in 3 minutes.
Yeah, and I just love the progression of this, where it started, her time was slow, and then like how she found ways to streamline it, like portion it out, cut everything up early, like, you know, do all that stuff. And you really see like the prep time that goes into these restaurants. Yeah. And
you saw problem solving, which was cool.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, I'll just brush my shoulder a little bit before I say this one, but I've been to a few Michelin star restaurants now, and like,
oh, big man.
After like sitting there and knowing that's how it happens in the back, like, you just have more of an appreciation for it. And every single time was unreal. So like, I highly recommend, if you have the opportunity to go to a Michelin restaurant, do it.
Okay.
Yeah, do it. Just go to French Laundry, dude.
Okay, I would love to go to
French. No, that's our plan, dude. So we should co-plan that.
Okay. And then we probably just got to go down, like, there's a list of side characters that we can mark off really quick. Pete, less so in this season. He's obviously the lawyer who is writing the agreement that's being ignored by Sid for the entire season. But he, as you might recall, like, his scene in the third season where him and Donna are speaking was really, really good. and the actor proved himself like in that moment, but he is around less. The facts are still around, and there's still the comedy relief, but
yep.
More so than anything, they're dealing with the same kind of insecurities that Tina is dealing with. Like, is this made for me? Should I be here? But Richie kind of just screws that to the side, and he's like, this is your house. You live here.
Yeah. Richie's also been amazing this season too. But I mean, yeah, I like the facts. The other, I don't know their names. Forgive me. Like, what's Maddie Matheson's name? And then his brother there, who's dating that girl. He's like, I think I love her, dude.
Yeah, I know. Maddie Matheson plays Neil Fack.
Yeah. I don't know what the guy's name is.
I don't know. Another fact. One of the other ones.
They're the facts. You know, get the facts.
They're the facts of life, baby. And then, but also, you know, Neil was the one who figured out that the food and wine person was coming because they were changing their name. So just a lot of character growth on that side of the fence as well. And then just to go over a few more here very quickly. We have Sarah Ramos and Andrew Lopez and Rene Goubé. I don't know if you say that one, but they're both are all three of them from Ever, and they were hired on by Richie to like be maitre d's, be servers, be just really like amping up this place. Although when they did step on screen, as much as I was like, oh cool, I love Sarah Ramos, I'm glad she's in this again, I was just like, how are they paying all these people?
Well, they address that. Kind of.
Yeah, kind of. The way they addressed it is that they're not. Well, they are, obviously, yeah, but they're running out of money.
They said they were upset, and they said, Richie, stop hiring people.
Right. Sugar did. Because, again, she's one of the adults in the room that people need to listen to more often.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we had Sarah Paulson, who's also in this season, married to John Mulaney, who, you know, every once in a while shows up as well, basically just talking to the facts or talking to Pete about investments, which is very funny. It also always feels like John Mulaney is not saying the words on the piece of paper. It kind of feels like they just let him say whatever, which is fine with me. But also he shows up under the table at the wedding, which I would assume was going to only be like some of the main characters, but we got some side characters there as well. And we'll obviously dive more into the table scene later. But I mean, we also got a good amount of Jillian Jacobs. This season as Tiff, because again, another one or another part of the structure of the season is we're all kind of leading up to her wedding to Josh Hartnett? And then we got the main characters. Obviously, Sid is still here. She is coming into her own, but she's kind of ignoring her father, who has a heart attack, and she has sort of a nervous breakdown about that.
Yeah, and then there was something that happened that I thought something would come of it, but nothing ever did. It was when Carmi was talking to Sid, and she explained to him, oh, my dad had a heart attack, and he said, please, Carmi, don't tell anyone. Don't explain. And then the first thing he does is tell the whole staff, but nothing came of it. I thought that maybe that was going to be her losing trust in him if that got out or something, but then it just never happened.
Yeah, I mean, her trusting him is a whole thing unto itself, really. Yeah, but
for sure.
Yeah, she was like, don't tell. And he's like, I'm telling.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows now.
And then my favorite character on the show, which has been the case from the very beginning, is Richie. And yeah. I'm so glad Eben Moss Backrack is going to be in Fantastic Four and is getting to do a bunch more cooler projects because of how good he is as Richie in The Bear. But he's growing as well. He's co-parenting with Josh Hartnett. Again, how? Why? That's crazy. He's writing motivational speeches that suck, that aren't good. He's talking about Japanese gardens and shit. But also, his talk with Cicero at the wedding about him being the sand was so good.
Dude, it's great. He is so good.
I'm just like proud of him. Like I'm proud of him like a parent would be of a dog.
Yeah, I mean, you go back and watch him in episode one, episode two of the season, or the series rather, and he's just like an asshole, dirty dude, and now he's just such a great redemption. It's very similar to the Jamie Tartt effect. From Ted Lasso. Yeah, he's awesome. And yes, to comment on him in Fantastic Four, he's playing the Thing, Ben Grimm, and that character is incredibly complex too. And it's very similar to like Richie's personality and demeanor. So I'm excited to see what he does with that.
Yeah, no, he's just truly perfect for it.
Yeah, for sure.
And then also Claire Bear is still here. So, okay, here's the thing. This is like my only gripe with the fourth season, and I feel as though this is a minority opinion, and that's fine. Perhaps it's not even the right one. I don't want Claire Bear around anymore. I understand that, like, once a Brazado, always a bear, you know, like, we're never getting rid of you. They say that to, Cicero says that to Tiff, which actually was really cute as well.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I was just sort of yearning for Carmy to grow at all and learn any lesson. And I thought perhaps moving on from Claire would have been nice to do. But at the same time, she's very much around. They kind of threw us a red herring curveball with like, wait, is it supposed to be Carmy and Sid? And they're like, no, definitely not. No. This is a Claire Bear and Carmy thing. We're really just going to still, you know, trudge down the tracks towards that. So anyway, again, that's a minority opinion. What are your vibes on Claire Bear being around still? Do you think it's cute?
Well, I figured we'd get some resolution from season three, how that ended. So I'm happy we got that. I'm like on the fence with you on this one because I agree in some regard, but I also think that she is the reason why Carmy is realizing that he has other things that he needs to focus on, not just his family, and his friends and his girlfriend. It's his life, his mom, everything. So I think she plays an important role in him realizing that, especially when he finds the green sweater at his mom's house.
Mm.
And so I think there's an argument for both, but I do think you are in the minority. Yeah.
Oh, and then Brie Larson's also here. So let's dive in. I want to dive into two scenes or like two episodes that I think were the most important. The first one was the wedding episode. I loved this whole episode. Everybody had a moment. Donna had a moment. Tiffany and Carm had a moment. I'm like the facts had a moment. Brie Larson and Sugar had a moment.
And
a bunch of moments where they were just fighting each other, and which was incredibly entertaining the entire time. Richie and Josh Hartnett are talking the entire time, trying to get their co-daughter out of a table. And they were all the side characters were there just doing a little bit one-off bits. It's just you put everybody in the same room and it always crackles in this show.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, finishing up that episode where everyone keeps going under the table with Richie's daughter, and the table kept getting bigger. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Is this the biggest table that's ever existed?
Yeah. At the beginning, it was like this little tiny thing. And then as they're getting, it's like a freaking tent.
Right. I was like, who's doing that? I did love when like Carmy was walking over, just seeing Richie's legs hanging out on the table, being like, what the fuck are you doing?
So good.
But yeah, no, that was that entire scene where they're talking to the little girl about their fears. It was just like wholesome as fuck.
Oh, yeah. It was very endearing. I loved it. I loved it so much.
And then as we said also, Cicero and Richie's conversation where Richie says he's the sand. That's that and the under the table selfie that they all take will probably be one of the main things I take away from the fourth season. Is
God, it's so good. Yeah, it is really great. It's very heartwarming.
And then as always, or I guess not really as always exactly, but we have a great ending episode of the season, and it doesn't wrap up storylines, but at least like the things come to a head. And the main thing I want to focus on here is there is a conversation in a back alleyway with smoking on and off between Sid yeah. and Carmy, and then Sid and Carmy and Richie, and then Sid, Carmy, Richie, and Suge. And they, one by one, have finally have all the conversations I've been waiting for them to have, which includes, number one, you're leaving. Number
How
two.
How dare you?
Yeah, like, what are you doing? You're just abandoning us. Why is that a good thing? Why are you saying it's a good thing? And then number two, I'm not leaving. I'm putting you in charge. You're amazing. Also, I'm going to leave when everything is right. I'm not going to leave immediately. That would be bad for season five. that would be like killing off your main character at the beginning of a season after the first season. Ill-advised. Anyway, and then Richie comes in and they have a conversation of Carmy was at the funeral.
Yeah, and this was crazy. When Richie like grabbed his throat and like put him up against the wall.
Oh, dude, my God.
I was like, oh, this is getting spicy. And I thought that there was going to be a fight. I thought he was going to freaking rage out. And but I'm glad he didn't. He like he's grown so much. I'm so proud of him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And, you know, Sid at the end saying, OK, if you want me to do this agreement, then Richie has to be in too. And then Richie being like, I don't want any handouts. And she's like, it's not a handout. And at the same time, you know, going even back again, like them having the conversation about Mikey's funeral and then Suge coming outside and Richie being like, he was at the funeral. And also, by the way, he's quitting and just compounding thing after thing after thing. So what was your favorite episode or favorite moment? And it's okay if we already talked about it, of the fourth season.
Yeah, I very much did like the wedding episode. I think that's going to be pretty common. And I did like, actually, really, I think it's the last three episodes. The wedding episode, when Carmy goes to see, excuse me, the wedding episode, right? No, I think there's a fourth one in there. But it's like the wedding episode, when Carmy sees his mom, and then the final episode in the alley. I think those are the top three episodes.
Yeah, I mean, I think the conversations between Sid and her father are going to be overlooked, but those were really good.
They were good.
She's just trying to find a balance as well. And I love, when they set up the Winter Wonderland for the family.
Oh, that was lovely.
That was so cute, dude.
Yeah, that was so lovely. And like how Richie is just so intense on like getting it right for these people. Like, let's give them the best experience we possibly can and we'll go out of our way to do it. Amazing.
So obviously they got picked up for season five.
Yeah.
I hope season five, I don't know if this has been announced yet, but I hope it's the last season. Number one, Jeremy Allen White's becoming one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Evan Ross Backrack, something similar as well. So, and Ayo Edebiri off to write the Barney movie. But,
what?
Yeah, she's doing that.
Okay.
The dinosaur?
Yeah, no, I understand.
So everyone's pretty busy. One's Bruce Springsteen, one's The Thing, and one is going to be with Barney.
Unreal. What range these people have.
But I really do hope it's the last season. I want them to succeed. I want this to be a sort of happy ending, because I feel as though, like, so a lot of the time I feel that happy endings are cheap because they are unearned. When this one, I hope, is a happy ending, I don't think there's any world where it will not feel earned.
Oh, yeah, no. This is the blood, sweat, and tears literally that went into each character's progression and the bear restaurant as a whole. Like, it's tough work. They've made that very clear. And people have dedicated some immense amount of time going to different countries, learning new crafts. If it doesn't succeed, I'll be sad.
Right. If the show falls apart because the restaurant falls apart in this slapstick, slap your knee comedy, then that I just don't think is going to work. I think the only version of landing the plane is, hey, these people have been yelling at each other for four seasons.
Yeah.
Just let this work, for the love of God.
Do you think season five will be no outburst fights? Like, do you think they'll go there where everything, like, there's no extreme confrontation like that, and it's just a pretty normal, like, relationships with people now that everything's kind of ironing out here?
No. And this is why.
No.
I think it's because Carmi said that he's going to stay until everything's good. Fair. I think either he will be frustrated with having to stay too long, or they will be frustrated with him staying too long. And there will be a continued friction between Richie, Sid, and Carmi down the line. I don't think this is all happiness and rainbows all of a sudden. Honestly, I would be disappointed if it was.
I just, I hope it's not too egregious. I hope it's like, you know, it's warranted.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, in a season where I just sort of hope the wins start coming because they deserve them. If they force fights in the middle of it that feel like they are, you know, we always talk about things that are being earned in a positive fashion. If that is being, if that happens and is not earned in a negative fashion, it's the same exact thing. It would just feel stupid. And like, just get over it. Like, how many times have we had this goddamn fight? You know, it's going to be a feeling that permeates the fifth season if it's that way.
It's literally them fighting about the same thing, and they each just get louder and louder and louder, and like, it's to the point where there were a few times where I had to turn my volume down. I'm like, Jesus, it's just so much noise.
Yeah, and at the same time, Jeremy Allen White's like scream talking when he's yelling are like nails on a chalkboard.
Oh my God, I know. Especially after 20 minutes of it.
But I'm excited. I wasn't excited for season four. Season four picked it back up, and we are headed down the court once more, looking to see if we can finish this off strong, which I think that it will. I just hope it gets to a place where there are a lot of wins, but they don't feel corny, and there is a few losses, a few payments that have to be paid in the service of success that don't feel fake bullshitty.
And literal payments too, because they owe a bunch of money.
Yes, that's true. Oh, and we
go ahead.
The menu is down to two or three items because Carmi finally decided to get his head out of his ass and start and not be making different shit on a daily basis, which was killing them.
Yeah, and he is very cost effective. but what I was going to say was, I loved how every once in a while you'd see a superimposed version of like their charts and their income and how much money the restaurant was making in the background. And they were in the red, and then they got into the black, like they were making money. So I'm hopeful that that was just a very subtle thing that is true. And we get that validation in season five.
And I think we will.
I think so too.
I don't think you can punish an audience for this long without giving it to them.
I know. We got to get the payoff.
Thank you for joining us here to talk about the episode or the season four of The Bear. We have talked about the past seasons in the past. You can go and listen to those. We just got done talking about the new season of Severance, and then we floundered for like a month, but I love all the Flounder podcasts. They're fun and weird. So
they are fun and weird.
At some point we did a whole episode about novelty pre-baked goods. It is a hoot. You should go listen to it.
That honestly is top tier. I love that episode so much. So listen to it. The Entomin, a podcast for the end of the aisle.
You did it, dude. Other than that, you know, perhaps you can let the people know where to find us on the internet.
Yeah, please. Absolutely. Subscribe to us on our Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ for $1 or more a month. You can get all of the episodes early and ad free. You get some Patreon exclusives peppered in there, and you get your name read out at the end of each episode. So you can write whatever you want. Pretty fun thing we do. But we'd like to thank our current patrons: Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, I Love Shitting on Company Time, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butternickels, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, Seafritz, and Cat's Pajama 10. And thank you, Brent Ginn and Butternickels, for being our $5 a month tier patron. That's very cool of you, but thank you to all of you for subscribing and giving us your money. Please also follow us on our social medias at the HBO Boys Pod or the HBO Boys Podcast, Threads, Instagram, TikTok. Interact with me. I am active over there. Like, comment, subscribe to our stuff. Reshare if you find that to be a thing that you'd like to do. And we'll have fun. So that's pretty cool. Ryan, what's our next endeavor? Because I'm on vacation all next week.
That's true.
I'm on vacation right now as you're listening to this.
Right, yeah. Your boy's in the hot, hot, hot heat. Dude.
The hot heat. I'm going to the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, but I don't know. What is the next show that's coming up?
I have no idea. You know what? One of the patrons had suggested that we watch Sinners and talk about Sinners. And I'm up for that if you are up for that.
Okay.
Heard it's great. I've heard from multiple people it's great.
Yeah, I know. I'm totally down for that. I'm going to watch Ironheart, but so far it's a little trying on my patience. So I don't think, I don't want to perhaps subject you to it if it's not your vibe.
I will not watch it.
Oh, okay. And so, yeah. So not that.
not going to do that one. You know, I think Chad watched it. So that would be a good one for Chad to do if he's willing to do.
If we both catch episodes of The Paper, which is the Office spinoff, maybe that a little bit. It is going to be starring Domhnall Gleeson, so I do think it will be at least a little bit interesting.
All right, I'll look into it. I didn't even know that was a thing, but I'll look into it.
And then at the same time, you know, we talked about a few new shows that are coming up in a recent episode where we talked about the most anticipated shows for both of us, yes. Top five anticipated shows for the end of 2025, beginning of 2026, which you can go listen to. So a few of those as well. If you guys have suggestions for what you'd like us to watch next, you can tell us in our private Discord if you join the Patreon or on all the socials that Adam said, you know, prior to this with his words.
Yeah. Also, the big one coming up next, I think, for me is Fallout. That's very soon, I think.
Oh, yeah. And then we'll have to also decide, like, Peacemaker Season 2. If we want to talk at all about King of the Hill Season 14 coming out.
Probably won't watch it.
Okay. And then, you know, other stuff.
Yeah, there's other stuff. I'm just being very transparent.
No, yeah, we got that.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.